Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gabra.io, and I'm here today with Luke Hansen, the CEO of Company Cam. Good afternoon in your case, Luke. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you?
Good. Looks like it's a little cold there. Got the hat on.
Yes, this is branded Company Cam gear. You know, I always make sure to be representing. But yes, we are in Nebraska. Lincoln, Nebraska. You know, I know you elite SF tech folks out there in San Francisco, where you are, Mark, you've never been here. No, but we're in the middle. We get a lot of heat in the summer, a lot of cold in the winter. And we're in that period of like, it's kind of been cruddy. But then, you know, being in the middle here, things change quickly, temperature wise. And so, you know, we'll get like the 60 degree day mixed in with the -5. You know, the next 2 days later or something. So today it's like, actually it's 43 degrees right now, which isn't terrible. There's much worse, but it's kind of squishy and wet, and because we got melting snow. So it's not ideal. I won't be golfing anytime soon. Let's say that.
I see. Well, if you come out here, you're more than welcome to join me. Yeah, and for the record, the 3 years ago, January of 2018, I was in Omaha. So not too far.
Oh yeah.
And it was definitely not 43.
No. Yeah, you run a risk of either freezing to death, but then I've also played golf on New Year's Day before.
Wow.
That's just, you know, you don't know how the cookie's going to crumble, they say.
Yeah. So we can probably talk about the weather and that stuff all day long, but why don't we start with letting you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Absolutely. So I my name is Luke Hansen. I'm the founder and CEO of Company Cam, which is it's an app for contractors. Think roofers, plumbers, pool builders, anyone that would come to your house and work on something. We really help them capture information in the field so they know what's going on and then communicate in the context of those photos and videos that they're capturing in the field. Automatically organizes that for them based on the job location. And makes that really easy. Now, I came into this because my family owns a roofing company. Roofing, never quite know, depending on where you're at, how you say it, here in Nebraska. So I grew up, you know, working on roofing houses and cleaning up the mess, you know, and I've kind of done everything you could do at a roofing company and really realized that the problem of communication and accountability at a contracting company is just a hard problem. You know, the work doesn't happen at the office, kind of happens out everywhere. And so we really set out to solve that. And that's how I ended up in this job.
Great. Yeah, interestingly, side note, I, as a senior in high school, I had a job at a roofing company.
And it's hard work, isn't it?
It is. And one of the things was, you know, hoofing the shingles up the ladder, right?
So there's different market in our city. Overwhelmingly, they do what's called a rooftop delivery. They bring out a truck and it's got like a boom on it with a conveyor belt that they run the shingles up onto the roof. But then lots of places they do ground drop where you're just loading them on your shoulder. And I mean, I've carried plenty of bundles up on the roof and I'll tell you that is a workout. And I'm sure that's what you figured out. Of course, when you're 18, you're in better position to do that.
I was,
than I am now.
And when I was in high school, there were no cell phones, there was no internet. So some of these things you're talking about weren't available. And one thing I learned from that job was to get a job in computer science. I'm much more cut out for that.
That was one takeaway that I had. It's like, I remember my dad wondering, you know, man, are these other roofing guys that you're working on the roof with, you know, are they like a bad influence? And I was like, well, maybe, but they're also definitely influencing me to finish school and you know, go that direction because like there is something of a relief to it. Like I had guys over replacing some windows at my house from a hailstorm and, you know, the guy's listening to a podcast in his headphones, just working on this kind of window. And it's like, I remember being able to do that at work and really enjoying that, like in the sense that your mind isn't so occupied work to where you can kind of do something else while you're working. Whereas when you're working on a computer all day, I can't listen to a podcast and record a podcast. You know, I'm not that talented. So there's ups and downs, but yeah, I definitely took away from that like you need to study and put yourself in a position to where you can choose to do that work, but you don't have to do it.
I agree. So What has been your experience with remote employment? I mean, you started out, obviously you couldn't do remote employment as a roofer because it's on, right? We're kind of remote, but your company, Company Cam, I mean, is that a remote company or do you have like an office and all
that? So we do have an office, but we also are remote, you know, and we had some remote employees and we were hiring remote, especially on our product team. So engineers, designers, PMs, and then COVID happened and all of a sudden we were like fully remote. And that was definitely an experience, but it really opened up my eyes to what's possible. Meaning that when you work on a computer, you don't actually have to be co-located. That being said, there are big benefits to, you know, I'm at the office today. I like coming in, seeing people, talking to people, you know, especially my job as a CEO, that's like an important part of it. But we do hire remote. We're hiring right now. We're hiring engineers, designers, PMs, inside sales reps. Like we're basically hiring across the board. And much of it is remote. And I think any of it can be remote, though most of the sales and marketing stuff we still do sort of locally.
Yeah. Interesting. But I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the University of Nebraska is in your backyard, right?
I'm like, I can like look out my window at the football stadium. Yeah. Wow. It's we are right by the university. Yep. It's right next to us.
So I'm assuming there's some technical talent coming out of there, correct?
There is, you know, that's a kind of a constant question for us is how we think about growing. You know, are we training people? Are we hiring experienced people? Do you, you know, and at this exact moment, we are more focused on hiring kind of like experienced, competent people to grow our teams and to get the work done with the interest of setting ourselves up to be able to bring in sort of more entry level people that we can train up that can kind of like jump in.
Yeah, and grow.
Exactly. And grow in the role.
Yeah, because I mean, I know, like, you know, U of N is not known as a tech center, but I've worked with college kids from all over the country, and there's just so much talent out there in just the U.S. and all over the world.
Yeah, they're really, it just is the case that there's always sharp kids coming out of school. A lot of them, that's just like the discovery is like a hard problem. Mm-hmm. Who is, you can do a great interview process. You can, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do, but it is just hard to identify, especially when there's not as much experience.
Right.
And when certain things that you need are harder to test for. Like there's an amount of just like coding kind of competence, you know, but there's also the attitude, the, like, I tend to think that like between smarts and attitude, like anything is possible, you know? Yes. And especially when it comes to engineering, like I remember initially hiring and looking for how many Android apps have they built and things, you know, trying to like, kind of thinking of it, which now I feel like is not quite from the right perspective. And we've gotten, you know, much more sophisticated in our hiring, but really coming down to like, does this person share our values and have the interest in sort of, are they going to love what they're going to do? Are they going to grow in that role? And then do they have the capacity, like whether or not they've written any React or, you know, can they get it? And are they interested in picking it up? Because, you know, the world doesn't sit here and wait for us. It's constantly changing, especially in software and coding languages. And so, yeah, it's not easy, but you know, we're working on it.
I agree. Well, to give you an idea, when I started as a coder, I was an assembler programmer, which most people don't even know what that is now.
Like x86, like I don't know what that is. Though I know that at some point there is ones and zeros and the assembly is closer to that than you know, other things, but that's
assembler. You're actually manipulating registers and things like that through ones and zeros, basically.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it was with punch cards. So things have changed and that just gives you an idea to, you know, what used to be an IBM mainframe is now basically this same amount of computing power.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. So Now that you've had a taste of it, what do you think is the future of remote employment? Do you plan to continue to grow remotely, or do you want to do, you know, put
more take down? No, we definitely will keep hiring remotely. I mean, I think it is. COVID was the sort of like gasoline poured on the fire, let's say, on the kindling. I don't know, whatever. Just take an analogy that it's now more than it was before.
Yeah.
That really was that catalyst that drove this to have to like sped the timetable up. But, you know, more and more, like, I don't know. I'm very big on remote in principle over the long term. And even like I recently got a VR headset. It's not all, you know, it's cool. It's not quite there, but you can see that we are getting very close. I think we're a couple years away from being able to pop one of these things on your face and to have it really feel like you're somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And like to have that real presence, that like 180 to 200 degrees of a visual field and, you know, really high resolution screens to where you can kind of, because it's already the latest gen of these are getting closer. So now this is a little bit of an aside, but, you know, when you think of the arbitrage, a lot of smart people are going, I mean, some people are leaving San Francisco right now. It's like this sort of economic equation versus like the network effects of a place. And it's like a tug of war, but it just is the case that if you can make 150K living in Lander, Wyoming versus making 150K living in San Francisco, you're living a wildly different life, which will, you know, will suit some people differently. But that I don't see remote going away. I do think the real world is going to make a comeback. Like people like other people, they like being in person, but the nature of this work is that you just don't really have to be together. It's easy enough to communicate. And I, part of my angle down this VR lane is that I really see between a couple different technologies that there's like that the idea of sort of virtually hanging out together is it is not as far away, I don't think, as it seems. And it from a like, so here, humor me here. The way that like Snapchat or something can like map those other faces onto your face, right? You've seen this, you know, apps do this, and they're only getting better at that. You know, then Apple will take your thing and make an emoji thing from it. Well, they're going to start doing that with your actual face, meaning it'll be your face mapped onto a digital character, and then you have a camera maybe on your eyes and then on your face when you're wearing one of these ridiculous headsets, and based on the expression you're making, it's going to make that expression on a fake version of your face that looks exactly like you because it's so good at doing it, to the point that you and I, instead of looking at these screens of each other, could really be sitting almost at a table looking at each other. And I really feel like we're under 5 years away from that being kind of consumer grade, anyone could have it. And I think that kind of a thing, that's just not going away.
No.
The real world is dangerous. Travel is expensive. People want to live in different places for a million reasons. And anything that makes the market more liquid and more like there's ways of arbitrage, they're only going to keep going forward. So, sorry, I'm very, very bullish on remote working.
Yeah, no. To give you an example, I mean, I have a friend that lived in an apartment complex very close to Twitter and Uber. And it was, if I remember right, it was $7,000 a month for a 2-bedroom apartment.
It's
That eats up that 150K really quick.
Yeah. 144 is directly gone into rent. Or hold on, 12. No, that's not right. 12 times. I was taking 12 times 12.
84,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a lot. Oh my gosh.
And then you've got California and US taxes. And
yeah,
you're right. And
you see those posts from time to time of like, this is what you can build in Columbus, Ohio for $2 million versus in San Francisco. And it's just this estate, absolutely beautiful estate versus like a sort of a shitty 2-bedroom ranch, you know, with like a dead yard. but yeah, oh man, Sorry, keep going.
No, I know. It's amazing. And people are leaving. That place now has vacancies. And they, you know, a year ago, there were no vacancies. And now there are. And if you go into San Francisco, you see a lot of for sale signs and you see a lot of moving trucks. And people, some people are literally just moving from the city out to the suburbs because they like the area. They just don't want to live in the city anymore.
Because want to be in it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I could, I mean, from, you know, living here myself, I could tell you that the weather is quite nice. We do get 6 straight months of 75 and sunny, which you don't get bored of.
No kidding.
So last question is, you know, you were kind of remote, but COVID forced you to go remote. I mean, you had no choice. So did that cause any hardships or challenges that you weren't quite ready for?
You know, man, we worried a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, luckily for us, our customers who are these trade contractors, they did pretty well. You know, there was a kind of a brief kind of a panic and uncertainty, but then everyone got stuck in their house,
became
frustrated with the state of their house and decided that a home project was in order or we should have someone build this or like everyone I know did some sort of home kind of project once they got locked in their house every day.
Mm-hmm.
And mine are still ongoing, annoyingly. But so that from that side, it wasn't as bad. But yeah, I mean, the switch to sort of doing everything remotely, meetings, you know, like then people are childcare. I mean, it wasn't exactly easy, but for a software company, it was much easier than, let's say, for my father's roofing company.
Yeah.
That's just like, you know, you kind of have to just go do the job, you know? So, but yeah, it was definitely a challenge. We used to be a little bit special in the sense that we were hiring remotely, you know, it wasn't as, not as many, I mean, maybe like 5 to 10% of companies that were, even know, could have been 20. A lot of people were hiring remotely, but not everyone, which is the case now. If you're hiring people for a sort of a typing on the computer job, like there's just, they don't have to be there. And that's kind of become the norm. And so that does increase the level of competition. It sort of flattens the market across geography. And I think all of this stuff, I don't know, I think it's good in the long run, but it's just something to adjust to. And so we are in the process of adjusting. But it's definitely, I don't think we're totally comfortable in this new world quite yet.
Really? Well, hopefully soon. I think, I don't know. I think I am. I've worked from home for 10 years. So to me,
there you go. Cool.
But you're right. A lot of people aren't. Don't.
Well, and I like it. It's, it's some of it. I mean, I really enjoyed it for a while. And I know people who were either a little bit like maybe kind of workaholic-y or, I don't know. They just had this situation and all of a sudden they got home with their kids every day and like their life got a lot better and they felt like, wow, like why am I working at this hair salon and why are we paying for our kids to go to this day? It's kind of like, oh, we could just do this. And so I think a lot of good came from it. What's hard for me is a lot of my interaction with our employees was somewhat, it was spontaneous. Mm-hmm. I'm at the office, they're at the office, and I catch them. I talk to Shane from our customer success department like every day. And then when we're not in the office, I don't talk to Shane every day. I talk to Shane like once a month. Mm. And I don't like that. And I'm trying to remedy that with some other kind of things, but it is hard to I think it is actually hard to have the same amount of kind of like random collisions inside of an organization. When you're remote, and I don't think it's impossible, and I don't think it even has to, that we had the perfect amount before, you know, but
right, no,
that I just haven't fully integrated into this, like, how do I do this at scale remotely, you know, when we have 100, like, because right now we probably have 30 people, or we have about 75 people total, and probably 30 of those are sort of truly remote, and the rest are local. I say that and there's like 5 people in our office right now. So everyone's basically remote.
Yeah, basically. Well, Luke, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been great talking to you. Good luck with Company Cam. I hope you do well and have a great 2021.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Mark. You too.
All right. Bye.